All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, we'll read verses 31 through 45 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke 24, verses 31 through 45. Let's read this passage together responsively. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Okay, I want the way y'all were reading, I wasn't sure we were all on the same page there. Verse number 33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon.' And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, 'Why are ye troubled? And why do these thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.' And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." Verse 41, "And while they were yet, believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, 'Have ye here any meat?' And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, 'These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.'" And let's finish on verse 45 together. Ready? "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." And let's pray. Father, once again we come to you. We need you. Holy Spirit, I pray that in just about 35 minutes or less, we will know you, love you, and have a better insight to you so that we could fellowship with you a whole lot better. Please help us tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Luke 24, Jesus has resurrected from the grave. I don't know about you, but the resurrection gets me excited. It doesn't take me long to think about the resurrection. Can you imagine having been one of those that got to actually see Jesus after the resurrection? By the way, when they were gonna. According to Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, "This same Jesus so in like manner shall come and get us." Amen? And it's coming. It's coming soon, and I hope it's real soon. But you have to understand, salvation's price was paid in full at this time. I mean, not only had Jesus come, lived a sinless life, not only did he die at Calvary, was he buried, but 3 days and three nights later, he got up out of the grave. Not only that, he went to heaven and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven to seal our salvation. Now he's coming back for about 40 days to spend on earth to prove he was who he said he was and that he was who he was. And all of this is cared for. Now, God was revealing many things to the disciples here. And he told them in this passage, he said, "Didn't I tell you this was going to happen? Didn't you believe me? Will you believe me now?" I love it. We live in a society that is addicted to ghosts and spirits and all that kind of stuff. And I have a sermon I'm working on about that. One of these days I'll preach. It's called Ghostbusters. Amen. But it's amazing how anybody that's about 30 years or older understands that. Past that, y'all are looking at me like, "What's that?" You'll find out. But it's amazing how many times the disciples and those people, anytime they saw Jesus do something, they thought he was a ghost. When it says that he was a spirit, notice it's small s. It's in reference to a ghost. And they actually thought they were seeing a ghost. And it wasn't. He proved to them that he was not a ghost, that he was the Son of God. Now, Jesus, though he was raised from the dead. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've spent a lot of time at funeral homes. I spend a lot of time around death. More time than I care to think about. And I'm telling you one thing. I've met with a lot of funeral directors, and I say this often. I'll say, I'm doing fine, but if that body sits up, I'm out of here. You say, why? Because I'm not sticking around that kind of stuff, amen? It's just not going to happen. I don't like that, and I don't want to be around that. This weekend is a very special time to me, and I'm going to digress for just a moment, but it goes with the sermon. This last Friday evening, I celebrated the 35th anniversary of my surrender to preach. I was 13 years old. I, Friday morning, got a text from my wife, and I got one from one of my boys, and then I got another one from the other one when he got off work that morning. I did a little research, and Brother Stoltz, I texted or typed in my computer a city where I was at in Mexico. It's a place called Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua, Mexico. You won't be able to see much of it. That's the city where I surrendered to preach. I remember it well. Missionary named Ron Kunis got up and preached. Couldn't tell you one thing he preached because he preached in Spanish and I was in English, but I knew what God was doing, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. I had been fighting it the whole trip, and I couldn't fight it anymore. I gave in. My youth director, God bless him, I love him, I want to choke him at times. I got done, got up, he said, good, you're preaching on the bus tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. That was the longest night of my life. You know, there are a lot of pages in that book, but the first time you ever have to preach a sermon, you can't find nothing in there. I'm telling you. I got up and preached for about 10, 15 minutes to my peers and to a bunch of adults and some preachers. Say, how'd it go? I laid an egg big enough to hatch quadruplet dinosaurs from, let me tell you. But God did something. I can't tell you. Brother Hawkins, that was over 11,000 sermons ago. I've stood behind pulpits. I was at a place yesterday and there was a map of the country on the wall and I just started clicking it off. I've preached in 28 states in our country. From Seattle, Washington to Florida, from Maine to Long Beach, LA, Southern California, Texas, Colorado, Minnesota, Ohio, Michigan, all over the Midwest, almost every state on the eastern seaboard and throughout the Midwest. Unbelievable. Now listen to me. I happen to know the man who led the Bearing Precious Seed Ministry at that time, a man named Carlos Demarest. He's in heaven. But his son-in-law, Al Braley, still works at Bearing Precious Seed. Friday morning, I emailed him and I said, Brother Al, 35 years ago today in Cuauhtémoc, I surrendered to preach under Brother Carlos. I said, I've seen tens of thousands of people saved, either out soul winning or preaching. The churches I have worked in, this is no lie, I have seen hundreds of thousands of people saved. I said, I can't believe what God did with a little nobody. But I'm not done yet. I said, I'm preaching the same book, same faith, same salvation, same Jesus, and I'm not changing. I've come too far to turn back now. It encouraged him. He emailed me back a little while later. He said, Brother Bush, he said, my wife was Brother Carlos's daughter. He said, I forwarded your email to her, and she's now at the office weeping over the influence of her dad. I said, I hope those are good weeps instead of bad ones. And she was rejoicing. And I said, I have been weeping all day. I promise you. I'm humbled. You're looking at a kid that at age 13, my mom will tell you, I failed oral book reports because I wasn't getting up and giving them in class. You don't believe that now, but it's true. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't like people. But God had other ideas. I had asked God to use me. I'll never forget. There's a song. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for thee. I love the second verse. This is the one that broke the snot out of me in a heartbeat. I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. And if it be thy will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. And I did. I did. I asked God to use me. I've been an assistant pastor in 4 churches. I've preached in 28 states. I was an assistant pastor to Dr. Jack Hiles in the world's largest church. Then, for the last almost 3 years, God has allowed me to pastor Grace Baptist Church. Been a part of national conferences. I've lost count of how many national conferences I've helped lead and run and preach in. I spoke, preached in Brother Hiles' pulpit 5 times for him. Now that's enough to make anybody scared. As I look ahead, there's no way I could have saw 35 years ago, Brother Mike, what God was going to do. Not at all. There's no way possible. Time, experience, maturity, many other factors have given me new insight and new vision. I've experienced a lot in the last 35 years, but all that has just prepared me for what the future is and what today is. My eyes and my life have been opened in the last 35 years. Now, listen to this statement. Jesus opened many things while he was here on earth. In this passage, 3 of those things were given. Tonight, I want to show you the 5 things that Jesus opened in this life for you and for me. And I think it will be a blessing to you. I want you to notice verse 31. The Bible says, "And their eyes were opened and they knew him." Can I tell you something? Forgot to turn that thing on. Jesus opened people's eyes. Now, the Bible does talk about him physically opening blind people's eyes, but I want you to notice these were the disciples. These were the people in the upper room. These were Christians. These were regular people like you and me. And the Bible says that he opened their eyes and they knew him. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, when the pressure's on, when the problems of life are upon you, you don't see life as straightly as you should, and you need God to open your eyes to see a little better. That's one reason that you ought to get good godly counsel, because sometimes God will open the eyes of the man of God in a way nobody expects, including him. I'll promise you. You see, he opened their eyes to see a little more of what he sees. It reminds me of the story in the book of Kings about Elisha's servant. And they went out and saw the Midianite army, or the Assyrian army, I forget which. And he came back and he said, "Master, we're in trouble. They're all out there. They're pointing their guns, their swords, their tanks." I know that's my version, not God's. Their army is encamped about us. What are we going to do? And Elijah said, "Lord, would you open the eyes of the young man?" He said, "Go back out and look, son." He went back out, opened his eyes, and God showed him the heavens were open, and there was a multitude of angels that were there. And he said, "We'll just let God take care of this one." He said, "When are we going?" That young man needed the maturity of the man of God and his faith and his trust to push him to see what he could not see normally on his own. Jesus in John chapter 9, verse 32, opened the eyes of a blind man. Now, he opened those who could not see physically, but he can also open your spiritual eyes. Grace Baptist Church, we need to ask God to open our eyes spiritually. How I want God to open my eyes to show us what we need to do here at Grace Baptist Church. I pray that virtually every day of my life. Say, "Well, how do I know what God wants me to do?" Open your eyes and read his book. He'll tell you. It's that simple. We don't know who we're going to reach. We don't know what person's door we'll knock on that needs us next. But I'll promise you this, they're spiritually blind and need to get saved. I promise you. I've thought through some of the people that God has allowed my wife and I to see saved through the years. There are people on the mission field. There are pastors and assistant pastors that we've won to Christ that are out doing the work. There's people all over the world that we've got to help train in our ministry. Can I tell you something? I never saw that. My mom, my dad will tell you, they thought when I came back from Mexico that I was going back there to be a missionary, and they lost me forever. I'll be honest with you, I was willing to go. Do you know that God's allowed me to train more people without going to the mission field that are on the mission field than I could have reached while on the mission field? Because I decided I would listen to my preacher and do what he said, and said, "Don't put a ceiling on God. You just keep following and he'll show you what to do. Don't limit God." Man, am I thankful for that. You see, sometimes we're bogged down with pressure. We're bogged down with problems. We're bogged down with the events of life, and we can only see what's in front of us. I don't know about you, but when the load gets heavy, I get tunnel vision. I really do. I learned a long time ago, when you're carrying a heavy load, you got to get tunnel vision. You got to focus. And you can't see everything going on around you. You need God to open up your vision to see a little farther. Number two. The Bible says in verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Again, in verse number 45, there in Luke 24, the Bible says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." Folks, Jesus can open that book up to you. I'm not talking about some professor in some university getting up and casting doubt on it. Jesus can open up what those words say in his book. He wrote them. He wrote them. A friend of mine a couple of weeks ago called me. He said, "Brother Bush, I'm going to steal a chapter in the book you wrote and preach it to my people." I said, "You don't have to steal it. It's there. That's what it's out there for." He said, but I got a question. Can you talk for a minute? I said, sure. And for about 15 minutes, we talked about one part in the book, and I opened it up to him in a little different vein, and he said, wow, okay, that's what I was wanting. I said, there you go. I said, it's there. Don't worry. I said, and by the way, if you and I disagree over it, it's fine. We're not talking doctrine here. He said, no, my church needs this. And I said, I'm glad it's been a help. I said, Doc, I said, if that's the only thing this book ever did was help you, it's worth it all. But I was glad he called me and got my advice. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I wrote the book. Can I tell you something? You know, you can go to the author and let him talk about that book. You can go to the author. I was bringing Brother Hiles back from the airport on a New Year's Eve. And matter of fact, it was the last New Year's Eve service he had at First Baptist before he went to heaven. And I was bringing him to the church. And we were talking. And of course, Brother Hiles authored, I think, 43, 44 different books. We were talking about his books, and he was asking me a few questions, and I kind of startled him with one of my answers. He said, why do you say that? I said, well, Brother Hiles, I said, in this book and in this book and in this, he said, you know those books. I said, yes, sir. I said, I read something that you wrote every day. I believe in doing that for the man that I work for. I want to think like you think so I can do your work the way you do it. I said, I just read something every day. He said, that amazes me. He said, I'm too stubborn to do that. He said, that's why God called me to pastor, not to be an assistant pastor. I said, isn't my job to carry out your work with you? He said, yeah, it just amazes me. I said, but I do have one question. He said, go. So I asked him a question about one of his books. Boy, did he talk for 20 minutes on the Dan Ryan coming back from O'Hare Field. I asked him one question, and boy, here he went. Man, it was great. I figured out which button to push, and man, I mashed that button, but good, amen? Jesus can open up the scriptures. By the way, I want you to notice something, and this is not for our church, but to all the liberals. Notice that the Bible says he opened unto them the scriptures. They weren't the originals. The Bible is scripture. They were copies. And by the way, since he was the author, he knew which ones to use. And he's talking about the Old Testament. If you noticed in the passage we read, it talked about the book of Psalms. And it talked about the law of Moses. And it talked about different places, the prophets. Those were all scripture. That's the word of God. And since he wrote it, he was the authority to call it scripture. Amen. You see, I want to learn to read. I want to read. I want to learn. I want to hear the word of God preach so that I can live it more and help more people by the living and the learning of the word of God. I was here early this morning. And I listened to a very lengthy sermon that was preached by Brother Hiles back in the 1990s in a church that I worked in South Carolina. Man, he was chewing it up, spitting it out, kicking people microphones over. Man, he was having a spell. Say why? Because I need preaching just like you do. And when I stand behind this pulpit, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. And we have to understand Jesus not only can open our eyes, but he can also open the scriptures to us. Do you know that the more truth you live, the more truth opens up to you as you read the word of God? Do you know why some people don't understand the Bible? Because they don't live any of the Bible. Do you know, did you ever notice college freshmen know how to run the world? Do you ever notice a teenager knows more about life than mom and dad? But when it comes right down to it, then they start finding out how smart everybody else was. Not until you start having to practice what you think you know, do you know what you know. There's a reason I don't touch electricity, because I didn't touch it the right ways more than one time. And I've not been trained with it, so I'm not touching it anymore because I do not like electricity. Yes, sir. You know, the more you live the Bible, the more you can learn the Bible. And I'm going to make a statement here. Jesus did not teach them the facts of it. He taught them how to live the principles of it. He wasn't teaching them a bunch of facts. He wasn't teaching them a bunch of pretty outlines that he threw up on a PowerPoint presentation. Everybody doing all right? He was preaching to them. He was teaching them. And it was practicality. He said, fellas, just didn't I teach you these things? Now you're seeing it come to pass, and it's time for you to do what I've taught you to do. And it's very practical. The more of the Bible you live, the more of it makes sense. Promise you. Do you know why the lost world has trouble with the Bible? Because they've never succumbed to getting saved to be able to understand it. Once you get saved, Scripture starts opening to you. Once you start obeying it, Scripture starts opening to you. And the more you obey it, the more it opens up to you. Boy, that's good stuff. We need to live in the Bible as the world around us moves away from the Word of God. The world hates that book right there. They hate what that book stands for right there. Are you doing all right? And the farther the way from it the world gets, the more of it we need. I got to hurry. Number three, Jesus opened people's understanding. Look at verse 45 again. The Bible says in Luke 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding. Wow. Did you know that Jesus can open the understanding, not just of the Word of God, but of situations and people around you? The preacher doesn't have all the answers. Brother Ed, a week ago, was it Monday, you called me and had your accident? Last Thursday. I couldn't remember which day of the week it was. I had two accidents on Monday and one on Thursday. I didn't know what to tell Brother Hawkins. I just said, Brother Ed, God's going to take care of it. It's going to be all right. And I sat in my chair after he called me and I said, God, you're going to have to help me understand this. I need help. Guide me. Give me direction. About 10 minutes later, I called him back. I said, I got an idea. May not be a good one, but it'll be a temporary fix, but I got an idea. And then we started working with insurance and rental cars, and we got through all that phase and got him home. And then I said, oh, God, give me understanding. Help me find what they need and for the price they can afford. And God gave us the needle in the haystack. Can I tell you why? Because I was asking God to help me understand. Brother Ed knows this is true. The very moment he called me and told me, I said, Brother Ed, I believe God's got something better out there for you. Well, I found a vehicle that's got about a third of the mileage his had on it. And he's going to be farther ahead with it than he was with his insurance settlement. Say, how's that work? God opens understanding. I don't understand why, but thank God nobody was seriously hurt. Everything else can be fixed and worked out, amen? Boy, that's good stuff. I can't tell you that I always understand every situation, but I know who to go to help me understand it. And I'm going to make a statement here. God, do you know what the word understand means? I love this. The word understand means to stand under. It literally means to have a load put over you and you stand under that load. It honestly means to exercise or put a strain above you that you must hold. It's like lifting weights above your head. It's like putting weights on your shoulders and doing squats. You know, you put 150, 200 pounds on your shoulders. I can, you can't. And bend down and you got to squat and bring that thing back up. That's what the word understanding is. It means when there's a load above you, you can maintain it while you're down underneath the load. You can lift the load and bring it back up to where it does not crush you. That is what understanding means. Understanding is not an acquaintance with something or a knowledge of. It is an actually working experience to be able to hold a load. Boy, that's good stuff. You know, I thought I knew what marriage was 26 years ago when I married my wife. I have an understanding of marriage now. I learned after 26 years, it's yes, ma'am. Not, honey, why did you? No, you don't ask those questions. Because it's not going to make sense to her or you. It's okay. We have an understanding. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that's good stuff. Understanding is not an acquaintance. It is a working use of something. Understanding comes as a result of obedience. You don't get understanding before your obedience. I said this morning, when my dad said, take the trash out, I didn't have to have an understanding. I just had to obey. You know, after years and 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 years of taking the trash out and not getting it out when I'm supposed to sometimes, I have a better understanding of why I was supposed to take the trash out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever leave something on vacation and forgot to take the kitchen trash out and you had, you know, meat wrappers or something in there and you came back and it was growing? Oh, you have a very good understanding of why you take the trash out. May we all learn to understand the Bible by living under it more. Folks, you only understand that book when you put yourself under it to live by it. Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry. Number four, Jesus opened the ears of people. Matthew chapter 7, verses 34, 35. We won't take time to turn there because I got to hurry in about 7 minutes. It'll be 7 o'clock and I got to get us out on time, all right? But Jesus opened physical ears, but the Bible also says all the way through, and I think it's about 7 or 8 or 9 times somewhere in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hey, God wants to open up your spiritual hearing. When you sit under preaching, when you sit under Bible teaching, you ought to ask God to open your ears to hear what he has for you, not just the words that the teacher's saying, not just the words the preacher is saying. Some of us listen to preaching like Charlie Brown's school teacher. Well, I heard what was said, but I didn't understand any of that because you didn't listen for understanding. You may have heard my voice, you may have heard my words, but you didn't listen for understanding. Boy, that's a good statement. Lost people can't hear spiritual things. It doesn't make sense. It keeps twisting around in there because they don't have a spiritual ear to hear. Once you get born again, guess what? You get a spiritual body and you get a spirit to listen with. Boy, that's good. We who are saved need to purpose ourselves to listen that way and yield to the Spirit as we do. Now, I got to finish point number 5. The Bible says that Jesus can open the windows of heaven for you. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. Let me take just a moment, turn to my Bible there. You know the verse. I can quote it to you, but I will read it to you. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall be not be room enough to receive it." Did you know that Jesus can open the windows of heaven on your life? By the way, that's not just talking about financially. You don't tithe and say, okay, God, I did my part. Now you pour out the money like a slot machine on me. Here we go. I gotta have it. Everybody doing all right? He said he would pour out and open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And there would be not enough room to receive it. Wow. He wants to bless your life, but there is a condition that goes with it. You have to obey him. I'm not asking you to do something that I do not do. I'm telling you, we're supposed to obey God with our finances. America's in trouble because we have gotten away from obeying God with our finances. And America is in trouble. The world is in trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. Global bankruptcy is on the horizon. And I literally believe global collapse comes on just prior to or at the rapture, because that's the only way the Antichrist can set up a one world government, one world system, and one world commerce. I love it when they start talking about, oh, we're on the verge of global bankruptcy. Little old Greece is having troubles in all the stock markets. China has trouble in the stock market. Here we go. Crashes. We have possible interest rate hikes, and the stock market starts dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. If it only takes just the talk of it, can you imagine what happens when all these Christians leave and they quit paying their bills for a couple of weeks or months? It's going to crash in a hurry. Boy, that's a good statement. Let's let it crash, amen, because we're going to be up in heaven at the marriage feast of the Lamb feasting, and then we're going to come back and watch Jesus wipe up the snot out of all these people. Now, you don't give to get, you give to obey. And then watch what God does. I'm done. One verse I want to give you. All of these things Jesus opened, but there was a condition that went with it. The whole sermon's wrapped up in this one thought. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You have to be willing to open up your heart and let him do these things. Did you know God's not going to force his way on you? Do you know that God, Jesus, didn't heal any person that didn't want to be healed? Do you know that Jesus didn't open the blind eyes of people that didn't want him to help? Do you know that Jesus didn't open the deaf ears of people that didn't want help? Do you know that Jesus didn't open the understanding of people that didn't want to understand? He doesn't go around just beating people on the head saying, ding, 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 ding. Okay, now you got it. No. We have to go to him and say, I want it. Would you help me? As soon as you do that, the door's open, and he says, now I can help you. Watch what I open. When we open the door, it's amazing what happens. Hear him knocking? What's he been knocking at your heart's door about? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer? How's living the Bible? How's our soul winning? How's our giving? How's our faith? He's knocking. Are you listening? You have to be willing to open it up. By the way, you don't kick the door open one time and he comes in on his own. I've been to Brother Barnes' home several times. Do you know that when I drive out to Brother Barnes' home, I don't open the door and just walk in because I've been there before? Say, why? I know what he's got inside there, and I don't want it pointed back at me. I've been to Brother Hawkins' home a lot, and virtually everybody in this room. I've been to your home, just about everybody in here. Do you know, I don't just walk in. Hello, it's a preacher, I'm here. Say, why? Not my home. Jesus isn't going to open the door the next time either. You have to keep opening the door for him. You have to constantly be opening the door to let him do his work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lacking understanding, lacking the scriptural knowledge that you want, lacking your eyes, your vision to see, your ears to hear spiritually, lacking some blessings, and you want God to open the windows of heaven, maybe tonight we ought to come to this altar and let God in our door. You'll have to keep opening it.